The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
It's coming up on 808. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here at 660 AM. The Answer on the line with us this morning, a good friend of mine, State Representative Matt Schaefer of Tyler. And Matt and I started talking really almost in the minutes after this horror began to unfold in Uvalde. Matt, welcome to North Texas. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show, and thanks for being here.
Good morning, Paul. So great to be with you.
Listen, You sent me a text that started us talking as all of this was beginning to unfold, and the gist of your text is we have quite a bit of law already in place with respect to firearms and schools. Just share with everybody what you shared with me.
That's right, Paul. Texas has very strong laws about guns at schools. You cannot carry a gun on campus, okay? And even within 1,000 feet of the grounds of a public school, there is a general prohibition on carrying a firearm. If you had a license to carry a handgun, that would kind of exempt you. So say you're, driving through an intersection near a school and you've got a handgun license. That is an exception, but primarily you're in a felony level crime if you have a gun on a school campus. Now, the exceptions to that would be law enforcement officers, of course, and any teachers or staff or administrators that the school has given specific permission to carry a gun based on like their guardian programs or their school marshal programs.
We have been talking about that this morning. So the Texas guardian program, briefly synopsize that for us.
Okay. There's two types of programs that public schools can use to arm teachers or staff. The first is called the guardian program, and it really is not formally set in statute. It's basically just the legal framework that gives the authority to a public school to say, you, the school board, the superintendent, may choose specific people, teachers, staff, admin, that you believe have the capability, the willingness, and can go through the training to carry a handgun, and maybe in some cases even have access to a rifle. Paul, we do have schools in the state of Texas where they do have rifles securely stored on campus because they know that there are possible situations where the only way to meet an armed person would be with a rifle. That's the guardian program, and it doesn't have a whole lot of red tape that the school has to go through, and that is what most schools use. Then there's the marshal program, which is set in statute, and it's more formalized, and it has more specific guidelines that the schools have to go through, and it's good too. But what I have found, and I have sat through countless hours of testimony on this in the Texas legislature, the schools that choose to arm their teachers certain ones, they are very responsible about it. They put their teachers through hours of training. They're very, very selective in who they choose. They do thorough background checks, and they always work with experienced law enforcement people to make sure that the program is doing right. I know where we live out here in Tyler, I know that we have former FBI agents and former Secret Service agents who are actually working with our schools to help them with providing expertise and best practices on how to implement these programs in their schools.
State Representative Matt Schaefer with us on the line this morning. So, Matt, let's take this one step further. You just went down the set of laws that says it's illegal to have a gun on campus. That didn't stop this guy from going into Robb Elementary School. So, you know, the idea that we're going to pass more gun laws seems absurd to me, even though that's exactly what they're talking about in Congress. We got Chuck Schumer bloviating about passing a simple law that would protect our kids. The laws we have, we already have, it's already illegal to shoot kids in school. I didn't stop this guy. I mean, we can, right? That's obvious to me.
It is. Evil people are the ones who are responsible for evil acts. And if you allow an evil act to translate into diminishing the rights of law-abiding citizens, what have we accomplished? If stricter gun control laws worked, then Chicago would be safe. Philadelphia would be safe.
Correct.
Detroit would be safe. We have seen the practical outcomes of these gun control laws, and that they don't work, that the criminals continue to do what they're going to do. I think a better focus in the criminal justice area is to look at places where judges are letting violent criminals back out on the street, dangerous criminals back on the street with little to no bail, and giving them light sentences. These people who are reoffenders often are the ones that are causing most of the violent crime in our communities. I also want to point out, Paul, that there's been a lot of talk about mental health. And I will tell you that we have done a lot in the state of Texas to make mental health counseling more available in our public schools. I know that we have schools in our community in East Texas where they have partnerships with our universities, and they are getting counseling to students who need it. That is happening. We have done a lot in the state of Texas to give resources to public schools to help with mental health counseling. That has greatly improved in the last few years. We can do more. Certainly we can. But we also have to talk about fathers and what's happening in the home, and that is a big, big factor.
Well, I would argue it's the factor. It is the big. If you solve that problem, most of the other problems just dissipate away on their own.
Without the discipline that comes in a home, the confidence that a young man can get from having a good relationship with their father, you can't replace that. No government program can replace that. And we really have to focus on young men, Paul. It's not young women who are committing these school shootings. Young men.
Nor do we ever interview the mother and father of one of these young men who goes and commits these terrible acts. There's never a father. These actors are never from a nuclear family that's in the traditional form of American families. That's never the case. It's almost, I can't think of the exception. It's a kid who's in this particular case living with his grandmother. It's usually a single woman trying to raise an adolescent boy and being overwhelmed by the task. And these kids, particularly, I think it's been made worse by the isolation of COVID. And certainly made worse by the isolation that seems to have come with in the wake of social media. Kids don't interact face to face; they have their heads buried in screens. Do you agree with all of that?
I do. And our public school teachers and administrators have a tremendous challenge. You know, you and I would say, "Well, we need the parents to get involved and do this and that," and the teachers often will tell us, "Well, look, well, there's no parenting going on at home." So the teachers and the administrators are left to pick up the pieces of a child who, you know, living in a chaotic environment. And, you know, all those emotional issues spill out in the classroom and on campus. They have a tremendous challenge. The breakdown of the nuclear family is devastating in our society right now. And, you know, I didn't grow up in a world where there were school shootings. I went to a public school. So many people my age and younger are now, look, these kids are living in a world that you and I never lived in.
Correct.
Our public schools have a tremendous challenge. We have to listen to them. But I know that right now the school boards are some of the most powerful elected officials in the state of Texas. That they have so much authority to do a lot of things. And this summer, and right now, they have got to be looking at top to bottom at school safety and security on their campuses to evaluate what they need to be doing. And we as legislators need to be listening to them. And they've got time now between, over the summer and when the next school session starts to implement new measures. And we in the legislature need to listen to them and find out what more we can do to help them with resources.
Well, it goes. We've been talking about that this morning, so before you came on the air, Matt. And here's the thing that I raised. You know, you just said something. You know, local school boards are enormously powerful. They control most of the assessed taxation in the state of Texas, and yet school board election turnout is notoriously low. And mostly the people who go to school board meetings, citizens who go to school board meetings, are activists with narrow agendas. Most of us, the vast majority of us, never go to a school board meeting, and a high percentage of us never vote in one.
Well, and often the school board elections are not even contested.
Right.
You have a hard time even finding people to run. I don't know what to tell you, Paul. It is frustrating to me. It's one of the things that I really learned when I first ran for office was that, you know, most people are just going to work every day, hitting the grocery store after work, trying to get the kids all straight and where they're supposed to be, catching a ball game on the weekend. It's hard for people to keep up with all of the levels of government. What's happening in Washington and Austin, the county, the city, on down to these special purpose districts that tax people. But the schools are so important to where we are as a society.
If you can only
there.
My argument has been, if you can only pay attention to one level of government, pay attention to your school board.
They do tax the most, and they have the biggest impact on the culture.
Well, let me ask you this: you know, to what extent, based on what you know, State Representative Matt Schaefer joining us. You know, to what extent are curricula in public schools in Texas, are they teaching things that we conservatives don't want taught?
The way the law works on what is taught in the classroom is that the State Board of Education, and to some extent state law passed by the legislature, determines what must be learned. Local school boards determine how. So the state determines what.
Okay.
A local school district determines how. And that's the curriculum. So the peaks, the essential knowledge, that basically comes out of the state. But then the local school board and the teachers in the classroom, the principals, administrators determine how it's taught. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road, because I can take you to school districts in East Texas in Smith County where it's pretty conservative, straight down the line. Just give them the knowledge and don't focus on the politics or trying to push an agenda. But that's where the problem comes in. You can go to Travis County. You can go to Austin Independent School District, where they spend an entire week on Pride Week. And then these same schools will complain that, oh, they don't have the resources to teach to the test, as they say. But yet they can spend a whole week on Pride Week. So it's really concerning. But that, again, comes back down to local leadership.
Well, would that not tell you that maybe you're making my argument, and I'm hoist by my own petard. Maybe the people in Austin, that's what they want, which I hate, but maybe that's what parents in Austin want. Or are these curricula going on against the wishes of the parents?
Well, I think it's both are true. I think that there's a lot of parents that live in Austin that's the kind of culture they want their kids to be around. But then there are some families that are stuck, Paul.
Yeah.
They're stuck there. And they don't have the financial means to be really mobile or to get their kid into a school where there's a more reasonable method of education going on. And that is why the school choice debate is raging in the state of Texas.
And where do you see it shaking out in the minute we have left here?
I think it's still an uphill battle. You're going to have to prove to rural families that school choice adds value to them when they have a pretty good thing going and there's not a private school for 100 miles. And those rural legislators still make a difference on the margins in Austin. But the school choice debate is only getting hotter and more intense. It's not going away.
All right. State Representative Matt Schaefer of Tyler, a good friend of mine. And Matt, I appreciate you taking time this morning to be a part of the program.
Paul, thank you so much for having me.
All right. The rest of the show from now until 10 o'clock, it's your calls here at 866-660-5759. Let's talk about what's going on in our schools. Let's talk about what you're going to do for Memorial Day weekend, what your vacation plans are. It's your show from now until 10 o'clock, 866-660-5759. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. More of the show is coming up. It's 8:28 and a half here in North Texas. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. And we've been talking this morning, if you're just joining us, we've been talking about the state of public education, the state of our schools in America and in Texas as it pertains, one, to just keeping kids safe, and number two, what our kids are being taught there, what they're being taught that they should be taught, what they're not being taught that they should be taught, and what they're being taught that we don't want them being taught. We want to talk about all of that, 866-660-5759. And also, you know, my municipal pool, in the town that I live in, the pool opens this weekend. That's because Memorial Day weekend is, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's not the celestial beginning of summer, but it's the de facto beginning of summer. The summer's here. This is the first summer since 2019 that we're going to be able to call normal. We can come and go as we please. We're not all masked up. Things are open. You can go to big gatherings. It's, you know, back to what we counted as normal prior to COVID. What are your plans this summer? What's not normal is what the price of gas is. We're playing gasoline national average $4.60-something. Depending on where you go, if you go somewhere, rent a car, if you drive somewhere, you can pay $6 or $7 a gallon. So with gas prices high, with airline travel prices high, but more freedom, on the other hand, to go do things, what are your travel plans? Bonus question this morning, what are you doing for Memorial Day weekend? What are you doing this summer in terms of your vacation? 866-660-5759. It's all you. If you're on hold, stay there because we're going to get to you. It's all your calls from now till 10 o'clock. 866-660-5759. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. We'll have more after the news at the bottom of the hour. Stay with us. 8:36. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis at 6:60 a.m. The Answer here on the Friday before a holiday weekend. Taking your calls at 866-660-5759. The floor is yours between now and 10 o'clock. I want to hear from you. We've been talking about school safety. We want to talk about reasserting our authority over our public schools. I think we have been passive, and look what's happened. Our schools are not doing the job. They're not keeping our kids safe, and they're not teaching our kids to be productive adults. 866-660-5759. The bonus question, it is the beginning of summer. We kind of mark that on Memorial Day weekend. The bonus question, what are your vacation plans this summer in light of soaring gasoline prices and soaring airline fares and soaring costs for everything else you have to buy? And yet the tantalizing ability to travel freely and go do things and not be stuck in the strictures of COVID. All of that together, how is it shaking out for you? What are your travel plans in light of all of that? 866-660-5759. Back to the phones, to Grand Prairie. It's Perry next on the Mark Davis Show. Perry, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Paul. Great show today.
Thank you.
listen, I just wanted to. Earlier caller had mentioned that about the Sandy Hook Elementary School principal possibly becoming armed and could have protected those children. Well, I knew that principal.
Okay.
I graduated high school with her, and she went on to become an educator, gone to college and all that. And the people that she kept close with also were friends of mine. And like you were defending her a little during the call, that she would have probably not have shot at a child or anyone that was trying to get into the school. That's exactly her position, according to her own children. They would have, she would have never have picked up a gun and taken a life, ever.
Well, and that's why I'm against, generally against any sort of top-down mandate of anything. Because
to that, I agree.
You know, so we're going to say all principals have to be armed. Well, you're going to, I think you're going to narrow the talent pool for school principals if you say all of them have to be armed. On the other hand, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. This is not what they signed up for. They're educators.
But on the other hand, I don't think there should be a mandate that says you can't be armed.
Correct. And correct me if I'm wrong. In the Texas schools today, some school systems, I believe the one in Argyle, because I'm very focused on this particular subject because of the subject matter, they are some school systems allow teachers to be armed.
Yes, it's called the Texas Guardian Program, and it says we just had State Representative Matt Schaefer explaining it to us. This Texas Guardian Program is a pretty much free of red tape, you know, school district level, school campus level, totally voluntary program under which, with proper training and compliance with some regs and some rules, the faculty and the staff and the administration of school districts can be armed on campus, can carry defensive weapons.
That's correct, and that was a great interview. I listened to that very acutely. But there's going to be some limitations on how many teachers will pick up arms.
I agree with that, but I think the subject, the fact that you can legally do it in Texas, I guarantee there are plenty of the states you can't, but the fact that you can do it in Texas ought to put that item on the PTA agenda in light of what happened this week.
Completely agree. Now, Dawn's family was very adamant. Their mother would never have picked up a gun to harm a child. But after Sandy Hook, everyone started thinking about it. Because let's face it, they'll all tell you, all the teachers will tell you, they love their kids. They love their kids. Never let anything happen to them. After Sandy Hook, things changed.
Well, listen, I had some badass teachers growing up. I mean, they were men, a couple of them were women, but I mean, they were tough people. And they would, I promise you, if you put the question to them today, they're all gone now. I'm old enough to where my teachers are all gone. But if they were in their prime today, if you were to transport them into today, they said, yeah, I'll do it. And Lord help somebody comes on this campus, starts trying to shoot these kids.
I agree.
But Perry, that was also
a first. Go ahead.
Now, that was during a time when the schools were also, you know, doing a good job of teaching us, and that's not happening either.
Right.
Too many. I don't want to indict every single school. In too many cases,
you can't.
In too many cases, that's not happening either. We're not teaching kids. They don't know the basic stuff. They're not prepared to be productive citizens the way schools in my day insisted that we be.
I agree, but that's another subject, totally different subject.
Well, it's not really, because we have ceded control of school. We've handed it over to a large extent. We've given over control of our schools to the federal government. The Department of Education was created by a law signed by Jimmy Carter in 1979. The goal of the Department of Education was its main goal was to bring an end to the disparity in achievement between white kids and black kids. How's that going? But it also, you know, one more way for money to be funneled into local districts. Well, when the federal government sends money into local districts, the strings are attached. And to a disheartening degree, local school districts are controlled by the federal government. I'm saying that we should reassert our own local authority over our own local schools. Too few people vote in school board elections. Too few people run for school board. Too few people go to school board meetings other than activists and weirdos and nuts. And I think that all has to change.
Amen.
All right, before I let you go, Perry, the bonus question. You traveling this summer?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Airline prices are too high. I've got access to a pool. That's what I'm going to be doing.
All right. Well, and hope you enjoy the pool. Hope you have a great holiday weekend. Perry, appreciate your call.
Thank you.
That opens a line, 866-660-5759. Craig and Salina, you're next on The Mark Davis Show. Hey, Craig.
Oh, okay. Hey, listen. Hey, Paul. Love
yes,
you.
Sir.
Glad that you're here.
Thank you.
Always tune in when you're here. Good job. I got three things. Number one, you know, we send our kids to school with bulletproof backpacks. They make backpacks with bulletproof backing in them. And basically, ever since he was in first grade, you know, we got another one coming in behind him. He'll be wearing the same thing. Yeah, it's a shame that it's come to that, but I believe very much so in a situation he can get behind that, and maybe it'll save his life. Hopefully, nothing like that will happen.
I know it won't because
our community is too close knit to let something like that.
Well,
happen.
I did, but you know what you said, Craig. You say that, but I bet you on Friday of last week, a week ago today, I'll bet you the people in Uvalde would have said the same thing.
Yeah, good point. Hey, second thing is school board members and school board meetings. Man, what do you do if all your friends are running for school board? How do you vote that?
I don't know. I got a whole lot of friends of mine that I wouldn't have them, real good friends, people I like, but I wouldn't have them in charge of anything.
Well, fortunately, two really good friends of mine ran for school board, and it was such a hard decision to pick from. And I ended up making a decision, but either way, I would have been happy with it.
Well, that's a great. That's
just a dilemma that I've never come across before in my life, so it was pretty interesting to go through that.
Well, all right.
Last thing, Paul, I want to tell you, COVID or any of this stuff has never stopped us from going on vacation. We bought a boat in 2020. We went on vacation in 2021. We're going on vacation tomorrow. I mean, it's just just how it is. It's never slowed us down.
Well, what about what about the cost
of
things, Craig? Because it costs more to fill up that boat full of fuel. It costs more to tow that boat to wherever you're going. You know, has the cost impacted your decisions as to what you're going to do this summer?
Not to this point, not yet. I'll be honest with you. I've planned and I had seen this coming. And so I'm making adjustments to where I can still be able to afford to have fun.
Well, that's the question. What kind of adjustments?
Well, just certain adjustments as far as just more saving. Obviously less going out to eat. We don't do that. We try not to do that, but maybe once every 2 weeks. But, you know, little stuff like that. Maybe less Copenhagen sometimes for me.
Okay, well, you should. Craig, I'm not your dad, and I'm not your pastor or your doctor, but you ought to cut that to zero.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Paul, I've done really good with it, and I'm down a lot less than what it used to be. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, our vacations have not stopped, and they're going to keep going.
All right.
So we're going to keep doing it. Now, granted, we're not traveling to the East Coast or West Coast. We're only going about 300 miles down to the third coast. But still, you know, it's still a beach, and the kids will still have fun in the sand.
All right. Craig, appreciate your call. You make that a safe trip to the third coast, and have a great holiday weekend and a great summer.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. That frees up a line at 866-660-5759. Jason in Princeton, in some sort of incredibly noisy environment, you're next on The Mark Davis Show.
Okay, how about that? Is it a little better?
No, that's a lot better.
Okay. Hey, I was, this may help a couple of people. There's nothing, you know, political or anything like that with what's going on in Uvalde. It came on the radio, and it kind of helped in other times that I've needed it, and it's a song called I'm Jealous of the Angels.
Okay.
If you can find it and play it between, you know, takes on what y'all are doing, people out there find it. It's a moving song, and it puts things into perspective.
I'm Jealous of the Angels. Who's the artist?
I knew you were going to ask that. I'm on a tractor and not near my truck because I've got it written down. I cannot think of the lady's name that sings it, but it's they could find it just by looking it up.
Rhonda K. Moreland. Rhonda K. Moreland informs me, a producer extraordinaire. Rhonda K. Moreland informs me.
There you go.
It's Donna Taggart is the artist.
That's it. Yes, sir. That's
okay.
It.
Well, all right. Tell me how it's appropriate to the times we face right now.
Just, you know, obviously in it, the lady's dad had passed away in a car accident with her, you know, when she was little, and it just took her a long time to get over it and, you know, try to move forward even as an adult. And she wrote the song, and it went through some popularity here in the States, and then it got picked up over in England. And once it was in England, then it made its way, you know, just around the world and became, you know, very, very popular, according to, you know, the singer and songwriter. Because I kind of the same thing as now. I looked it up and was interested in how it came about and all of that. It talks about how, you know, God must meet another angel around the throne.
All right.
Which is what I thought was fitting. You know, we've got 21 or 22, you know, more. And it just, I said, I don't really know what to say else on it. It just, it moved me and helped, and, you know, and sometimes that I've needed it. And I just hope it can help, you know, if any of the parents down there are listening, it could hopefully, you know, help them and maybe give them some sort of, you know, peace for even a little while, if it'll work.
I've got some lyrics here. God must need another angel around the throne tonight. Your love mm-hmm. lives on inside of me, and I will hold on tight. It's not my place to question, only God knows why. I'm just jealous of the angels around the throne tonight. Well, you've got to believe that those words were meaningful to the parents of mm-hmm. those 19 little fourth graders in Uvalde, Texas, whose lives have been shattered this week and will never, ever be fully put back together. Jason, appreciate your call. Hey, before I let you go, are you traveling this summer? What are your vacation plans? Bonus question.
No, I will be working.
Okay.
about it. You know, times are too tough for me to tear off and, you know, go hunting or anything like that. But if I can just say, you know, the last thing with all of this, they're saying that, oh, we need, you know, gun control and reform and this and that. But we need God control. We hope the society has kicked God to the curb and thinks that there's nothing that can fix it. But no, you know, God can fix it. He can fix everything.
So all right.
I think once we put that back into perspective, then I think things will start to turn around.
Jason, appreciate your call. 866-660-5759. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Listen, follow me, my weekly column, youtellmetexas.com. I'm holding forth on what this week on the column I published yesterday afternoon on this very topic. At youtellmetexas.com. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. It's your show between now and 10 o'clock, 866-660-5759. I'll be here after the break. You be here with me. Don't go away. We have people on hold waiting to be heard on what we've been talking about this morning at 866-660-5759. We have one line available at that number. If you'd like to get in line, it's all you between now and 10 o'clock. It's the floor is yours. Our schools, our public schools, are failing at the most basic levels. We're not protecting our kids, and in way too many cases, we're not teaching our kids. Want to talk about that? 866-660-5759. Paul Gleiser sending in for Mark Davis. If you're one of those on hold, we're coming to you after the news at the top of the hour. Mark Davis Show here at 660 AM, The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.